you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Bill Carnes, your host, 2A Radio. It happens to be June 23rd, 2009. Welcome to the show. It's on again. We dealt with months ago this entire affair of all of the lies coming out of Capitol Hill, the lies coming out of the federal government who want your guns, about how allegedly people in the United States are going to all the gun stores up and down the border in the bordering states, buying up mass quantities of guns and shuttling them across the border to Mexican drug cartels to carry out violence against their under-equipped and completely honest government. We know, because we have researched, that that is all a bag of malarkey. The majority of the guns in Mexico come from other countries. 17%, less than 1 in 5, come from the United States. The majority of those 17% come through the Direct Commercial Sales Act, through the United States State Department, and get sold to Mexico as well as other countries, and then through corruption of these third world nations, those guns end up in the hands of the drug cartel. Now, Jamaica is getting in on the mix. I just read a story yesterday, last night in fact, that Jamaica is getting in and saying that they haven't had guns since, I believe, 1973, somewhere around there in the 70s. They eliminated guns. However, they are the murder capital of the Americas. They have 2.8 million people in the island nation of Jamaica. They have 10 times the murder rate than per capita in the United States. And they say 90% estimated of those murders in Jamaica come from drug gangs, violence gangs. They account for 90% of the homicide rate. Yet they're saying that they confiscate roughly 1,000 guns a year on the streets of Jamaica. And they say that some of those, actually they're saying that a lot of those are traced back to the U.S. However, in fact, at the ports, they've only confiscated in the last 5 years some 100 guns. And only a few of those were traced back to the U.S., and the few that are traced back to the U.S. are traced back to three counties in Florida with a very densely populated Jamaican population. So they're trying to point the finger at you and I and the rest of the gun owners in America. Now, if you happen to have criminal gangs ruling the streets and wreaking havoc and causing murder, and the government there is bankrupt, what should you do? I'm thinking if you had an armed and trained populace, that those crime figures would drop dramatically. And the only dead Jamaicans you would find on the streets of Jamaica would happen to be those members of those gangs that are trying to inflict violence on the armed and trained populace of that island nation of Jamaica. That's my feelings on it. Something tells me if you look back in history, you're going to find the same thing that I did. That armed, trained citizenry will take matters into their own hands and handle the violence problem in Jamaica. Stay tuned through the break. Be right back.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle Sam taught him to shoot
me. And welcome back from the break. Many of you are aware, if not, I will make you aware right now, that the FBI has a terrorist screening center. And that is where these FBI agents assigned to this terrorist screening center sit around and gather information from other law enforcement and intelligence communities. I almost laugh when I say intelligence, based on the stupidity of what's going on. And they submit names of people they believe, whoever, they being whoever sees this person, they believe could be a possible potential terrorist. And they add their names to a list. It's been referred to as the no-fly list. The reason is they went back after 9/11. And they realized these 19 terrorists, they went back, traced things that they did. And people that did those sorts of things in similar order to what these 19 hijackers did, scumbags. And they decided if other people do these same sorts of things and some other stuff that we could come up with that they could have done and still been successful on 9/11/01, that we're going to add them to a terrorist watch list. Then other activities began to get expanded to qualify somebody to be placed onto this list, which doesn't allow you to fly on an airplane. And there really is no rebuttal to this, and there has been no way to successfully get your name off of this list, and there's been no way to find out why in the hell they put you on this list in the first place. With that being said, there is no accountability to this. Once you're on the list, baby, you are there. And at this point in time, there are over 1 million names, 1 million people. That means 1 in 300 in this country are on that list. Now, I would imagine there's some people from overseas. But there's hundreds of thousands of Americans on this list, many of whom have no idea that they're on it, nor why. What is going on now is we have a bunch of people on Capitol Hill that hate your guns, and because you have guns, hate you. Senator Frank Lautenberg, Democrat, surprise, surprise, from New Jersey, is one of those people. He is planning on introducing legislation today. He may have done it yesterday, but I believe today was the plan, which would add people on the terrorist watch list. You might possibly be considered a possible, I'm not quite so sure, maybe someday terrorist list, onto the list of people who are not allowed to buy guns. So you go into a gun store, you buy a gun from a licensed federal firearms dealer. For some reason or another, you ended up on this list, unbeknownst to you, and they say, we can't sell you a gun. You go to try and fight the system to find out why you're on that list and get yourself removed from that list, and it goes in vain. My answer to that would be nothing preventing you from buying it private sales, which is why they have other legislation trying to be introduced to end private sales of firearms, which is completely unconstitutional. Any piece of property that I own, any item that I own, any tangible anything that I own, I have the inalienable right to do with as I please when it comes to selling it to someone else. Now, I incur an air of civil responsibility, but certainly not criminal responsibility. Meaning if I sell an item of mine to someone and they abuse it, I may have some sort of civil liability come my way, depending on the circumstances involved with the sale and disclosure such as that. However, not in criminal liability. I sell my car to someone, They go out, get drunk, go and drive their car into someone's house and cause $20,000 in damage. I am not liable for that. But they'd like to think that if you sell a gun to someone and they use it in a crime of some sorts, that you are criminally liable for that. That's a load of bull. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you're going to say that if you do something illegal with something I give to you, somehow I am liable. Which means if you give me something of yours and I do something wrong, you're civilly liable or criminally liable. That's bull. That's a total setup is what it is. If you know that's what's going on, you can set people up. So this is probably going to be the next step. If this piece of legislation goes through, we need to fight this. Lautenberg is a notorious gun grabber. He introduced a similar bill to this in 2007. His actions come in the wake of statistics compiled by this Government Accountability Office, the GAO, the same people that came out lying this last week about all the guns. They were really incredibly misleading about the guns in Mexico, about the U.S. We already have the numbers and statistics. We had it months ago. We don't need the Government Accountability Office to go in there and do refinings and tweak the information based on what the jerks up in the White House and that whole regime want to have done. They were drawing attention to an odd divergence in federal law that allows erroneously designated potential terrorists to exercise their Second Amendment right to bear arms, but prevents them from getting on a plane or getting a visa to go overseas. Now, keep in mind, this guy in Arkansas that shot one and killed another member of the army was on a terrorist watch list. However, he had gotten a visa and had actually gone to the Middle East, to Yemen, I believe it was a pronounced professed Muslim extremist in his own words, and had done his very best to let everybody know. However, I wonder if he was on the terrorist watch list. He was certainly allowed to fly and certainly had a visa. So there are some dramatic holes in this system. I believe the biggest problem is this. This terrorist watch list of proposed possible terrorists is handled under the guise of the federal government, agency within the federal government. The least efficient and least effective governing body with more gaps, more holes, and more political swaying than any other political body I'm aware of in modern history. They are absolutely inept from the top down. There's an old saying that a good friend of mine from back east says, and that is, the fish stinks at the head. Who's the head of the federal government right now? Happens to be Obama and his czar-ridden regime. The government stinks. And the fish stinks at the head. For the FBI to control this list without any oversight whatsoever, do as they're going to do. Take information from whatever sources they get. And they're very private about this. They don't even allow anything through the Freedom of Information Act to get out about this potential terrorist watch list because it's national security. National security, my foot. It's managed by a group that does not have any accountability whatsoever. So if they don't want you, if this legislation goes through and they don't want you to own guns, what they're going to do is they're going to add you to the list for the mere fact they don't want you to own a gun. How can they find that information out? You call the very same organization managed by the FBI for the criminal background checks whenever you buy a gun from a dealer. So they're going to have your name. Now, they say that that information is held for only 24 hours. That's it, 24 hours. Then it's destroyed. Those computer records are deleted. I would like to challenge the FBI on that. Because in border states, states that are bordering Mexico, when people go buy X number of guns in any one purchase, they might go buy four or five guns in a purchase. What happens soon after is the ATF comes knocking at their door, asking if they can see the guns and compare the serial numbers. Can you imagine? The Gestapo is now coming to the doors. If you, let's say you live in southern Arizona and you go buy five or six guns from a dealer at any one time, or five or six guns one at a time from five or six different dealers, the Gestapo, in the name of ATF, and I believe BATF stands for Bureaucrats Against True Freedoms, BATF is going to come to your door and they're going to ask to see the guns and look at the serial numbers. They're not even registered. You don't register guns in Arizona. There is no registration there. But the Gestapo is coming to check. This is what we're looking for if we don't fight this law that Lautenberg is trying to push through to get people randomly placed on this terrorist watch list managed by the FBI to say, you can't buy a gun. There you go. This is the America we're living in today, unfortunately. We've got more to come. Stay tuned through the break. This is your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun. Or listening to this show. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
So, we're always dealing with buzzwords and buzz terms coming off of Capitol Hill. Let me give you a couple of examples here. One of them would be assault weapon, created in, I believe it was 1988, by some anti-gunner who was in the Senate at the time. High-capacity magazine, that was created by someone within the Clinton administration, I believe. No, it was during the George H.W. Bush, Bush 1 presidency, some anti-gunner came up with high-capacity magazine. How about this one? This is one of my favorite. Instead of illegal immigrant, they have undocumented worker. Now, I wonder if all of these illegals in the prison system throughout the U.S., and it's estimated 30% of all prisoners are in this country illegally, if they could be considered an undocumented free laborer, an undocumented laborer of the state, I wonder if that's what they would be considered. Because they do probably pump out some license plates or do some laundry or something. So they're working for the state as an undocumented person. That's not to say 30% of the people that come to this country don't work. I have no idea. But it's to say that 30% estimated in the prison system throughout the United States, incarcerated, are illegals. So imagine if we actually had a screening process where people would apply legally. Maybe we wouldn't have that. Oh, you know, we do have that. We just haven't enforced those laws. Imagine that. So we actually have different laws concerning such as, let's say, the sale of guns to people with intent to send them overseas illegally or to cross them over border. We actually have laws against that stuff. But if the government would just enforce those laws, that'd be great. Rather than going to someone's house that bought a few guns last month and going to harass them, if they actually had some sort of border security, imagine that. That would actually curb a couple of these things. Now, it's my opinion that it is not up to the United States government to check stuff leaving the country as much as to check things and people coming into the country. If any country has a landmass border with the United States, a la Mexico and Canada, it's up to those governments to have people on the border checking stuff coming into their country. That's not happening in Mexico. Going into Mexico is a freewheeling event. You know, walk straight across, they don't care. They don't have a bunch of cameras and pictures and things going on, at least not from the Mexican side. They might have it from the U.S. seeing who's leaving the U.S. The Mexicans don't have that. And then coming back across, the Mexicans aren't stopping to have you look around. It's all the Americans. It's all the money that's being big borrowed or stolen from the American people to support the federal government. And a portion of that is going to border security. Now they want to watch everybody and check everything leaving the country. Why? It's not our problem, stuff that leaves, unless it's of some form of ultra-sensitive nature. And in that case, it should have been secured well before you get to the Mexican or Canadian border. I'd like to introduce the national laboratories down in New Mexico that have had all sorts of security issues from inside jobs dealing with CIA and Department of Defense, getting information out, selling it to the Chinese, giving it away to the North Koreans, a lot of things that happened during the Clinton administration, and making it look like some sort of break-in, and then hanging some patsy out to dry. That's the sort of thing that I believe the people responsible should be laid out and strung up by a yardarm, proverbially speaking. Whoever's behind that sort of thing. You know, Oliver North's a good guy, but I got to tell you that he did stuff that was wrong. I mean, he did stuff that he truly believed was the right sort of thing to do, which I am good over. However, he did it in an illegal manner, and that I have a problem with. If the system is broke, you need to fix the system. And sometimes you need to take the entire system, put it in the commode and flush it and start over. And I really think that's we're pretty much there now. We're awfully darn close. Put the whole system in the toilet, flush it, send it down to the septic tank where it belongs, where it seems like a lot of the people within the system emerged from, and just start this whole process over. The Constitution has been prostituted. The justice system has been prostituted. The legislative system has been prostituted for a long time. You go to Capitol Hill and you just try to keep your money in your pocket without somebody asking you to give it to them. I mean, you try to keep that money in your pocket without a senator trying to say, hey, you know, we could use that money to try and fight the other side, the left or the right, and into some piece of legislation. Try to keep your money going to D.C., going to Capitol Hill. It's going to be tough. And, of course, the executive branch has been prostituted. So how do we deal with all of this? Well, we start from scratch. We have absolutely strict term limits. I believe that the Senate should probably serve 6 years as they do. And if you're going to serve 6 years, you should have a term limit of one term. That's it. One term limit. In the House, I believe they should increase the House terms to 4 years or maybe 3 years. And they should elect a... Every year there should be an election for a third of the House. One term. Maybe two. Maybe two in the House if it's half the term. My thoughts. Stick around through the break. I've got more.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
Riot of the day comes out of the state of Virginia. I was talking a little bit about buzzwords earlier, and I got a little sidetracked with other thoughts. Another buzzword that's come out now is right-wing extremist. It's coming out a lot. They're comparing what happened in Washington, D.C. with that nut job that went in there and shot up the, or began to shoot up the Holocaust Museum in D.C. a week or so ago as a right-wing extremist, because that is the new buzz phrase. This Virginia State Police say anti-New World Order, as well as gun rights activists, are terrorists. Now, keep in mind that everything I'm about to read to you that would point out to people as terrorists are the same people who back during the McCarthy era were looking for the communists in the United States. Now, the communist source of people we used to be looking for now have some vent of authority and are looking for us. Another document designating Americans as terrorists has surfaced. The document entitled Crisis Controlled, Assessing Potential Threats of Violence, authored by Trooper John R. Wright, is posted on the official website of the Commonwealth of Virginia under the Department of Human Resources Management. In March, the Virginia State Police and the Virginia Fusion Center produced a report entitled 2009 Virginia Terrorism Threat Assessment. In response, Virginia Governor Timothy M. Kaine, who has come out to be a total scumbag, said he was a big gun supporter and vetoed every gun bill that came across his desk. This governor ordered an investigation of the Fusion Center. The report designates university-based students groups as terrorist groups. Presented in a slideshow format, the latest document lists gun rights, pro-life, constitutional issues, tax protesters, and anti-government groups as domestic terror threats. Anarchist, separatist, single-issue, and religious cults are listed along with Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Jihad, Aryan Nation, neo-Nazi, skinheads, black separatists, and the Ku Klux Klan. As amply documented here and elsewhere, Al-Qaeda is a CIA and Pakistan ISI-created terrorist group. Hamas was neutered from the group by Israel's Mossad and Institute for Intelligence and Special Tasks. Al-Jihad is financed and supported by the Muslim Brotherhood, a British and U.S. intelligence asset. Under COINTERPRO, the FBI provided covert aid to the Ku Klux Klan, Minutemen, Nazis, and other racist vigilantes. The Elohim City settlement, connected to documented government operative Timothy McVeigh and linked to Aryan Nations and other white supremacist groups, was infiltrated and run by the Southern Poverty Law Center and the FBI. The Black Bloc anarchists are a notorious government front, pardon me. In keeping the well-documented strategy of tension technique pioneered by the CIA, NATO, Convenience Gladio, so-called anarchists, who were police agent provocateurs, engaged in violence during the anti-globalist Genoa protests in 2001. As Alex Jones documented in his film Police State 2, the takeover of the Black Bloc anarchists in Seattle during the WTO protests of 1999, they were effectively infiltrated and provocateured by the authorities. During the Montebello Globalist Summit in Quebec of 2007, several anarchists were ousted as police agents. In short, many, if not most, of the terrorist groups listed in the Crisis Control Document of Virginia are false flag operations specifically designated to discredit and subvert legitimate opposition to the government. Trooper John R. Wright's slideshow weighs heavily on protective measures against these manufactured threats. He tells us that terrorists will try to fit in cities. Timothy McVeigh, Luke John Helder, the so-called mailbox bomber, and Sarah Jane Olson as examples of people who are on the surface, they appear to be average citizens. Sarah Jane Olson, a.k.a. Kathleen Salaya, was a Patsy member of the Symbolese Liberation Army, a classic government-created terror group. McVeigh's connection to the government is noted above. Wright, this is again Trooper John R. Wright, urges citizens to actively become snoops and instructs them to consider innocuous behavior and suspected terrorist activity. People who avoid community contact and value privacy are to be considered possible terrorists, as well as those who make unusual purchases or have numerous visitor meetings. Wright's slideshow provides the following as an example of a terrorist lead. Listen to this. I saw a white male about 6 feet tall wearing black combat boots, a black T-shirt, and boots with the pants tucked in. Black combat pants, black T-shirt, and boots with the pants tucked in, taking notes for at least 2 hours outside the front entrance to the courthouse. He was standing near a brown Ford pickup truck with a license plate, with a rusting tailgate and a bumper sticker that says, "Say no to the New World Order." In other words, if you listen to Alex Jones, if you have an anti-NWO bumper sticker, if you listen to me, Bill Carnes, if you listen to Dave Champion, if you listen to the Republic Broadcasting Network, you have any of these stickers, you hand out the cards, you wear certain clothing, you're white, you may be reported to the Virginia State Police as a possible terrorist worthy of subsequent investigation by that group. Crisis control asserting potential threats of violence is another example of an orchestrated effort by police agencies, now fully federalized and under the sway of the Department of Homeland Security, to designate legitimate and constitutionally protected opposition to government policies as violent terrorist activities. On June 15th, Steve Watson reported on a Department of Defense anti-terrorism training course that characterized Americans exercising their First Amendment right as terrorists. The ACLU contacted Department of Defense regarding its anti-terrorism and force protection annual refresher training course, which advises personnel that political protests amount to low-level terrorism. This is going on right here in America, folks. The ACLU points out that although in and of itself the classification of protests as terrorism is deeply disturbing, it is even more alarming when viewed in the context of the Pentagon's long-term efforts to crack down on organized dissent. The Pentagon training course flagged protesters as terrorists. That comes on the heels of the DHS extremism report, where the DHS profiled pro-life, Second Amendment, anti-illegal immigration, and anti-government activists characterized as terrorists. An earlier report issued by the Missouri Information Analysis Center, or MICA, you remember me talking about that, entitled The Modern Militia Movement, and dated this last February, I think it was about the 20th, specifically described supporters of presidential candidates Ron Paul, Chuck Baldwin, and Bob Barr as militia-influenced terrorists, and instructed the Missouri police to be on the lookout for supporters displaying bumper stickers and other paraphernalia associated with the Constitutional Campaign for Liberty and Libertarian parties. Pardon me, my reading. The MICA report was subsequently pulled after many people over the air went public with the story, and an anonymous police officer in Missouri had actually leaked that report to Alex Jones. So I want to thank Alex Jones for dealing with that and talking about it on the show. He does a great job. The Virginia State Police needed to receive complaints about the latest document. The Virginia State Police terrorist tip hotline is 1-877-4-VA-TIPS. Again, 877-4-VA-TIPS. The telephone number to the Virginia State Police admin headquarters is 804-674-2936. That's to Gestapo Central. The administrative offices handles questions concerning department policies and procedures. So you can feel free to call them. I am beside myself. Absolutely beside myself that this is happening in my America. This is my country. And anyone who gets into any form of public service works for me and works for you. They are called public servants, whether they're elected, hired, appointed, or volunteer. They work for you and I. We are the bosses. We are the masters. They are the servants. It was Thomas Jefferson who said, and let me paraphrase from memory here, a citizenry that fears its government is tyranny. A government which fears its citizens is liberty. Where are we right now? We're kind of in a catch-22 because the government is obviously afraid of us because they're trying to classify a vast majority of anybody who did not vote for Barack Hussein Obama as a potential domestic terrorist. That's what it boils down to. If you didn't vote for a Kenyan-born, Muslim-raised, illegitimate president, you are considered a potential terrorist in the United States, in your country, because the enemy has come from within. You want to read a good book? You want to read a really good book about this? Go read The Enemy from Within by Michael Savage. Excellent reading. Some of you may agree with Savage and how he handles himself. Some of you may disagree with Savage and how he handles himself. That is one good book. And it was written well before Obama ever announced his candidacy for president. As a matter of fact, I believe that book was penned prior to Obama even being part of the U.S. Senate. He was wasting the time of everyone in the state senate of Illinois, I believe, at the time that book was written. So now it's almost a predictive sort of a piece, seeing where the heck things were going to go, and here we are. So check it out. The Enemy from Within. It absolutely baffles me how turncoat different government groups have gotten against we American citizens since the Obama regime took control of the White House. It's absolutely mind-boggling to me how many different law enforcement or intelligence-related groups have come out with this new term, right-wing extremist or right-wing extremism. And I got to tell you, the left, especially the left in the press, love it. What is a left-wing extremist? Is that someone who is a vegan and votes strictly Democrat, potentially supports the Green Party, is anti-military, pro-huge government, anti-work, anti-work ethic, pro-government, take care of all of us? Would that be considered a left-wing extremist, or would that be considered a member of the Obama family? How do we deal with this? We have to flush the system. Every single person in public office, with the exception of maybe a dozen throughout the country, for the most part, should be replaced with grassroots type people. And everyone should be limited to between one and two terms in office. I believe the president should be a one-term position. I believe the Senate should be a one-term position. And every other year, you elect a third of them, just the way it is now, but you set them to a one-term deal. I believe the House of Representatives should probably be, I'm guessing, a four-year deal, maybe a three-year deal. Yeah, I think I said that earlier. A three-year deal, and you elect a third of the people every single year. There's an election. And you get one term, possibly two. Maybe we'd allow you to do two, but the problem I have with two terms is rather than doing your job at the end of your term, you're not there. You're out campaigning. You're out campaigning. I mean, look at all the senators that were on the trail when it came to this last presidential election who weren't being senators. You had everybody running for president. You had the guy running for vice president. You had the lady that got beat in the Democrat primary. You had all these people who were not being senators because they're out on the campaign trail. So one term. One term, especially at the legislative level, one term. It should almost be like you have to take an IQ exam and an exam to understand the government, the separation of powers and such as that. And if you pass that, it's almost like they draw you from a list like they would for jury duty. Okay, you know, you're going to go be a representative for 3 years. You're going to go be a senator for 6 years. It's almost like something like that should be going on. You're going to go be a state senator or a state representative. One term, it's almost like you should be pulled to do that. And, of course, get compensated for it. What do you guys think? Shoot me off your emails. Tell me what you think about Bill Karn's plan for replacing the system and keeping it in check with term limits. I've got a few more things to share with you after the upcoming break. Stick around. This is Bill Karn's on 2A Radio.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Karnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back. I talked last week, everybody heard the news, I'm sure, that there's intelligence that's coming out. It was first published in a newspaper in Japan, a Tokyo paper, that says that they have intelligence that North Korea is preparing a long-range nuclear-capable ballistic missile that they're intending to test somewhere around the 4th of July, imagine that, and fire it in the direction of Hawaii, which would be considered by any and all accounts an act of war. Now, they believe that this thing has a range of 4,000 miles, which is just out of reach of the Hawaiian Islands. However, how do they know? Where are they going to launch it from? Have they given it an extra little bit of longer burning fuel? Who knows? Could this thing actually hit? So my question is, what are we going to do about it? Now, former Senator Sam Nunn was on Meet the Press, and here's what he had to say.
Threat and beyond from North Korea. There are new sanctions in place, Senator Nunn, that allow the United States to stop vessels, but not necessarily to board the vessels unless there's agreement. It seems to me, my take is that the U.S. is in a very difficult position. President Clinton, President Bush both had strategies that failed with North Korea, but now you've got a new sanctions regime that is essentially toothless. What is President Obama really able to do?
Well, there's a huge loophole in the sanctions about the ships at sea. You made that point exactly right. But there are other sanctions that were put in that resolution about squeezing the money in the bank accounts. They can be effective. So we've made progress on sanctions. The important thing here is that China, Japan, the United States, Russia, and South Korea are aligned. We've got to keep that alignment. Now, as far as the loophole is that if we don't board the ship and the UN resolution doesn't give us that kind of right, then we can require it to go into a port. But if the port is an unfriendly port, they may not inspect. So there's a big loophole here. Intelligence is going to be the key. If we think there are weapons of mass destruction on one of those ships, then it's jump ball. And we're going to have to do what we have to do to protect our national security. And I believe the UN will support that. But if we do not have that kind of intelligence, we've got to, I think, be prudent as to how we handle this. In any event, we've got to make it clear to the North Koreans that we will hold them fully accountable if they export any type of nuclear weapon.
So that's Sam Nunn's take on North Korea and what they're up to. My question is, what is the Obama regime going to do about it? Do they actually have the intestinal fortitude to do anything? Do they have the intestinal fortitude to actually respond if someone, North Korea or anyone, launches a nuclear-capable ballistic missile in the direction of the United States? Or if they sell any sort of nuclear components that could be used as a nuclear weapon to a country that's anti-American, what do we do? I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Lock and load, folks. You're our first line of defense.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.